is from all the comedians came back to work. They'd been off work for a while.
Oh, yeah. Summer's over. Time to buckle down.
You're Conan, you're Jimmy Fallon, you're Seth Meyers, and you're Trevor Noah from The Daily Show.
Pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong turned violent as police and demonstrators clashed in the streets.
Police arrested protesters who disrupted the subway system by blocking train doors, and hundreds of students at the Chinese University of Hong Kong held a rally to demand political reform.
Saturday was more violent, with protesters assaulting government headquarters. They threw bricks and firebombs. Police fired back with tear gas and water cannons tinted with blue dye to ID people.
But you know what? Kudos to these protesters, man. They are not giving up. They believe in what they believe in. And they're even responding to repression by getting creative, right, with science. Like, look at this. They're disrupting CCTV cameras with lasers. They're disarming tear gas with water canisters. They put the tear gas into the can. And look, this is like shakes it up. And then when the guy opens it up, there's no more tear gas. Look at this. This comes out and it's like tear gas. God. It's like a magic trick. Yeah. This is why you should pay attention in chemistry class, people. Yeah. Especially Americans, because Occupy Wall Street couldn't even get their volcano to smoke.
It's mostly interesting from the news parts of it in that, so the bad guys, the communists, they put dye in the water cannons. That's an interesting move.
Mm-hmm.
So you spray them, and now you know, okay, you were part of that deal. You got
no,
the
I wasn't.
Color.
You're blue.
And so you can arrest
I'm always
them
blue.
Yeah. You know what? That would be a great bit of resistance, is everybody in Hong Kong dyed themselves blue.
Yeah, and then on the other side, as Trevor Noah mentioned there, their creativity with the lasers and how to handle the various facial recognition stuff and the tear gas, really creative.
Yeah.
And, God, you watch these videos, and it's a lot of, like, looks to be 18-year-old, 100-pound girls that are taking on this battle.
Yeah. Yep.
Something.
Well, old Carrie Lam, the gal who's, you know, allegedly in charge of Hong Kong, she's just a puppet, a tool of the Chinese Communist Party, but she's officially withdrawn that law that, you know, if you're oversimplifying, the extradition law that triggered the protests. But honestly, that's a big part, but just a part of China making it clear that, yeah, your liberties are going away, and they're going to go away as fast as we can, you know, take them from you, and you have no choice in it. So they've withdrawn that law, which to me is it's a good strategic move by the evil Xi, because now they'll take advantage of whatever calm results to quietly institute more levers of control over the people in Hong Kong. He's a calculating guy. I mean, he reminds me of a supervillain, like a really good supervillain in a movie. What he'll do now is figure out, okay, here were our limitations in imposing our power during this episode. How can we enhance them? What are our weak points? What were our strong points? How do we, you know, diminish those and enhance those? And let's see, what's our next step down the road? And he'll institute those things. And if they take a year or two or three to just make another step down the road, he'll do that. And then by the time 15 years is gone, the people of Hong Kong will be utterly under the boot heel of the Chinese. I mean, it's practically inevitable.
Yeah, the thing that stuck out to me was I was listening to a Henry Kissinger interview. He was talking about Xi and how Xi is the kind of guy, and this is part of Chinese culture, where he'd be willing to get into a military dust-up with the United States that they would lose. He wouldn't care if they got into something and lost, if it would further them long term. That's the way they look at things. We don't look at that way. The Western world doesn't really.
Not often.
And that's what makes him so dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel bad for the people of Hong Kong. I suppose they might, you know, they might end up being the greatest story of resistance to oppression in the last century.
Bet you $100 you're wrong.
Right up there with the, you know, the Warsaw Resistance and the French Resistance and the, you know, just all sorts of incredible acts of heroism. But I don't know. We'll see. So anyway, that one's quieted down, at least for now. Meanwhile, in Britain, a series of parliamentary maneuvers have left the entire world utterly flummoxed. They're doing things that they've never done before that I didn't know that they'd never done. Frankly, I don't understand what they're doing. But Boris Johnson's at the center of it, and it all has to do with the stupid, stupid Brexit, and nobody has any idea what's going to happen. And nobody has any idea what to do with about it. Old Bojo might be out of his job as prime minister, and then who gets it? And what are they going to do?
And he's only been in the job for a couple weeks.
Yeah. He'd be the shortest-serving PM in British history.
By a lot.
Order! Order!
Order! Order! Order!
And right, and then whoever got the job next, nobody has any idea what they'll do about the Brexit. Because they cut a deal with the EU. Parliament said, no way, that deal sucks. We're not accepting it. So, all right, we'll try it again. Then we try it again. Then we try it again. Parliament rejects every single one. And so Bojo says, all right, the vote said we're leaving. We're leaving without a deal. And Parliament said, oh, no. That's the last thing we're doing. So, you know, good. If he hands the keys off to old Labour leader Jeremy the Socialist Corbyn or somebody else, what are they going to do?
A lot of the comparisons between Bojo and Trump don't work for all kinds of different reasons. But this one is pretty good in that he's not really a conservative or a liberal, and, you know, he's not part of either party, in that several of the mainstays of the conservative party have abandoned him and said, look, there's nothing conservative about a Brexit with no plan.
Right.
That's not a conservative position.
Yeah.
And one of your traditional conservatives, been there forever guys, got up yesterday in the midst of all the screaming and yelling. Do we have any of the screaming and yelling? He got up in the midst of the screaming and yelling, got up from the conservative side, walked across the aisle, and sat down with the liberals, which got a great amount of attention and was right. Very dramatic.
Well, and Bojo now, and this is a thing in Britain apparently, said, all right, all y'all who switch sides, you're not in our party anymore. And they're not. So
they get to do that?
Yeah, I guess. It's an odd system. And what was the other thing?
It's Thunderdome, man. There are no rules.
Like, yeah. Trump can't say you're not a Republican anymore to someone.
Yeah, I am. Right. Yeah, exactly. And what's that? There was another thing that happened. You know, they might have new elections and see whether people are tired of his act already or not. But again, so they switch. They go with somebody else as the prime minister, or his party loses. Okay, what's the new guy's going to do? What are they going to do? Okay, maybe Bojo hangs on to his job. What is he going to do? Oh, that's right. What I was going to say is he was actually saying, and go ahead, do we have the yelling and shouting and parliamenting?
Any of it.
Yeah, any of it. We'll shout over it.
Tomorrow's bill would hand control of the negotiations to the EU, and that would mean more dither, more delay, and more confusion. And it would mean that the EU themselves would be able to decide how long to keep this country in the EU. And since I refuse to go along with that plan, we are going to have to make a choice, yes. Mr. Speaker. I don't want an election. The public don't want an election. I don't believe the right honourable gentleman wants an election.
Okay, that's good. So, yeah, so the calling another election, that's a ballsy move.
Right.
Because he might lose his job. He
sure.
Called another election.
Yeah.
But he thinks he'll win, obviously.
Right. I liked how he said, I've got to convince the EU that I'm willing to crash the bus. Then I'm willing to crash us out of this. I must have that power. I'm not sure if it works the same way if you say that out loud.
Right.
Listen, honey, let's just walk away from this. I'm going to tell these people I'm going to walk away from buying this car.
You say in the office as you're sitting down there right. With the guy talking yeah. About the price of the car, you say yeah. To your wife, I'm going to walk out of here and pretend that I'm not going to take the deal. All right?
Then you come after me in like a minute, and then we'll both come back in together and say, all right, this is your last chance. Okay, ready? Break. And the guy's sitting there thinking,
are we really going to go through this charade?
These are crazy people. I'm right here. Yeah. But again, who what's next? I don't know. I have no idea. Do they re-vote? I keep going back and forth on that, on the Brexit. And I know nobody cares that much about the Brexit, honestly. But do they say, look, we had no idea what we were voting for. Now we kind of understand how difficult it will be. Never mind. Or would that be a betrayal of democracy?
Is it a betrayal of democracy to have another vote? What are you betraying?
The vote said the government will take whatever measures are necessary to get out of the EU.
Yeah, now I could.
The EU.
But all right, sweetheart.
It is a tough one.
You know, listen, I appreciate your vehemence, but that's not helping.
Because it's a tough one. Because on one hand, you can say, look, it's all emotional. A lot of you who voted for Brexit didn't think it would win. It was
right. Just
a gesture.
Right.
And now that we know what it is, let's vote again. On the other hand, the other side of it, and I fully understand this, you can't just keep holding votes until you get the result you want.
Why not?
And then stop. I mean,
we got it. No more votes.
Right. Now we got it the way I want it, so we're done with the voting.
This is the permanent will of democracy. No, I think you get to change your mind in a democracy. Now, the accusation...
If the majority say we can't, we should, you can.
Well, right, yeah. And if the accusation is, you bastards just dragged your feet and rejected everything because you would not respect the will of the people, and you never intended on executing the will of the people who voted for breakfast again with me. It's that fasting I'm doing.
So do we have breakfast or no?
There is no breakfast.
Quit saying breakfast.
And probably
we all want breakfast, and you keep saying
probably
it.
Probably no Brexit. But so I get that. But then the remedy, and this is in America, what numbskulls like Tom Steyer and who's that Congress geek from Texas, Al Green, and Maxine Waters. Here's what they don't get. There's a great remedy for all that stuff. Here's a hint. We hold one every 2 years, and then the one for president every 4 years. So, you know, if in England they decide, all right, let's have another vote, and you blame that one party or both of them or whatever, vote for somebody different. That's always the remedy.
I wish we could have done that with the bullet train once we got into it. I don't think there's a chance in hell it would have passed if you put it up to vote again.
Oh, the Cal Unicornia bullet train? Yeah. We'll see. I have no idea what's going to happen. And I'm not sure I care, although... If
it wrecks the world economy, I care.
Well, yeah, if the Brexit thing is crazy and simultaneously we in China just keep upping the ante and, you know, and Germany goes into a full recession, blah, 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 Saudi Arabia and Israel team up to fight Iran and all of a sudden we got unemployment in 28%. Well, yeah, and then I would care. I would definitely care. And that might just be one of the dominoes that falls. No, dominoes is a bad... metaphor because, you know, one domino tips over the rest of them, but, you know, a variety of factors all going in the wrong direction.
Sure. Yeah.
Hey, well, what are you going to do?
So rooting against that.
Yes.
Okay.
Clearly. Haven't you been paying attention?
But we aren't getting breakfast.
I'm rooting for breakfast.
Yes.
There is no breakfast.
Resume your seat.
Armstrong and Getty.
Polls show that most Democratic voters and Democratic-leaning independents, two-thirds, the main thing they want in a candidate is someone who can beat Donald Trump.
Yep. Yes, I'm one of only two candidates in the field that 10% or more of Donald Trump voters say that they would support.
Why is that?
It's because I'm focused on solving the problems that they see around them every day. And I'm laser focused on trying to make their lives better. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm getting thousands of Trump voters, as well as independents and libertarians, and Democrats and progressives. If I'm the Democratic nominee, we win. That's the math.
So that's Andrew Yang.
He is Asian.
Tech entrepreneur who has struck a chord with his main thing he talks about is his universal income plan, a proposal to give $1,000 in cash to every American.
Part of it, a month, right?
A month, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, a month. And part of it is to shield workers from job losses he believes are coming because of robots. And the other one is the argument we've talked about a lot, and hopefully you've heard about it before. Just there is a theory out there, even among libertarians and some conservatives, that if you give people money, it gives them enough hope and dignity to get going again, and also they will shame others who waste their money.
I've heard
there's
that
a theory on that.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty compelling. But where they lose me is that the idea of universal basic income is you eliminate all other welfare programs. There's no need for them because everybody is getting this money. But that will never, ever happen because those programs are a leash around the necks. I guess the leash leads to the collar. It's a leash that leads to the collar around the necks of voters. Those programs, you need me to give you. And that's political power. Not to mention, all that money flows through you. You get to carve off a certain percentage of it. There's no way that happens.
So they've been trying a version of this for a while now in Stockton, California. Stockton was chosen because it was ground zero for the big financial crash, housing crash, and because it was the biggest municipality to ever go bankrupt in our nation's history. And they're given, they chose a whole bunch of people that met certain guidelines, $500 a month. And here's a woman, Susie Garza, who since February has been getting $500 a month in Stockton, California. She said she can spend the money however she wants. That's part of the idea of this income. She uses 150 of it to pay for her cell phone, another 100 or so to pay off her dog's vet bills. She spends the rest on her two grandsons, and then she can afford to buy them birthday presents and stuff that she couldn't afford before. She was a drug addict. She's been sober for a long time, spent some time in jail. She said, I feel more independent, like I'm in charge. I like having something that's my own. It's your own now that somebody gave it to you.
Exactly. Yeah, you'll feel even better if you earn it. Trust me.
The mayor, 29-year-old Democratic mayor of Stockton, said, I think poverty is immoral. I think it's antiquated, and I think it shouldn't exist. That's an interesting theory.
Yet another young utopian who's going to reinvent human nature. People don't need to strive. They just need to be given. Now, and they will live a happy life.
This has been tried in a variety of ways around the world. There's a place in Africa, a place in Europe. They've tried it. I haven't seen enough consistency and for it to be a long enough period to really figure out what. You'd have to do it for a long time to see if it's going to change culture. Mm-hmm. I'm specifically concerned about the part where if you're in a poor neighborhood and you know everybody else is getting money and that family out of theirs out of money, you think, sorry, you're out of luck. You got the same amount I did. I saved mine or bought food with it, and you spent yours on a big screen TV. Mm-hmm. You're screwed. Will that actually happen over time? I don't know. You have to eliminate the other programs. Like you said, that part of it, that piece of the puzzle has to exist for me to really understand whether the experiment would work.
Right. Right. And I tell you what, Yang is not out of his mind. He's not alone in thinking that robot technology and artificial intelligence will so fundamentally change so many workplaces, there just won't be jobs for humans like there are now.
Oof.
And if the corporation is making what it's making now, plus some because the robots are cheaper, there ought to be plenty of money to go around to support the humans and keep us from starving to death. I think it's as much a nightmare as a utopia, but...
What's coming up in your news, Marshall Phillips?
Did China just blink dealing with the Hong Kong protesters? We got another sign Joe Biden's campaign may be in trouble, and Netflix making a binge-watching change.
All in the right.
Day scenarios ranked, which are most likely to kill us all. Stay with us.
You've been saying superbug for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What do they call it? The antibiotic resistant bacteria.
Kill all of us, like every the human race?
Let's not get hung up on the details, okay. Jack. We're talking about a dinosaurian wipeout of humanity.
Okay, gotcha. Oh. Okay.
Maybe not a complete one, but pretty damn significant.
Gotcha. So that's coming up.
I spent some time thinking about this at the Museum of Natural History.
Oh, it does.
On the Capitol Mall. You see various beasts that have come and gone. It humbles you.
It really does.
You're sitting there. Oh, did your boys like the pictures I sent? Could they tell what was going on?
Yeah, very cool.
The T-Rex bones eating the Stegosaurus bones or whatever it was.
So that's the new dinosaur museum that's supposed to be just fantastic. And one of the Koch brothers donated a ton of money to it.
Yeah, so it's the Hall of Fossils, I think they call it there at the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History.
But the Koch brothers gave a ton of money to it, so some people are attempting to boycott it or something.
Those people should be torn asunder and limb from limb by Tyrannosauruses.
I want to go look at dinosaur bones.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Oh, it's so good.
It looks really good.
Oh, it is so good. It's not like they got a couple of bones and like one of those Fox When Animals Attack shows where they only have two good pieces of footage and they show them to y'all. No. There are lots of super good bones. Oh, yeah.
But you're right. It does put stuff in perspective. You think, why did I ever spend any time thinking about whether I should buy this or this when time is this infinite?
They ruled the earth for 500 million years, and now they're just bones.
Like we'll all be.
Makes you stop and think.
News now with Marsha Phillips.
Well, Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam announcing the government will formally withdraw that extradition bill that has managed to set off months of demonstrations in the city. She is bowing to one of the protesters' demands. The bill would have allowed Hong Kong residents to be sent to mainland China for trials, and that's the one that sparked the massive protests.
From this month, I and my principal officials will reach out to the community to start a direct dialogue. People from all walks of life, with different stances and backgrounds, are invited to share their views.
There you go.
You are full of crap. communist crap.
She's scared to death. She got no choice.
Of course. Yeah, so it's funny. Well, I wasn't looking at dinosaur bones. Right. There in the South, the whole Civil War area of Virginia, D.C., and Maryland. And, you know, I didn't spend a lot of time like I like to doing Civil War history stuff and reading, but I'd spent a little bit. And, you know, it's funny. I was reading about some of the battles that made Stonewall Jackson the great general right. that he was. And this is so clearly a strategic retreat on one front so the Chinese can flank the freedom protesters in another way. I mean, it's a temporary strategic feint. It's strategic
deceit.
Well, that's a good point.
Well, a bit of preemptive expectation deflation. Advisors to former Vice President Joe Biden are lowering the expectations about how he might perform in the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary.
This is weird to me. You're the front runner by double digits. Why are you lowering your expectations?
I think you always do in politics. You never want to have the story be he failed to reach expected. He was a disappointment. Lower expectation, it probably won't even be in the top five. I mean, oh, it's a disaster. And then when he does well, you get to trumpet it. It's all about spin.
Yeah, advisors suggesting they may be concerned that the front runner in the Democratic primary polling might not win in those first two primary voting states.
Nah, they're full of crap and it's spin. How about the question of whether he's senile or not? That's the interesting one to me. As he gets outed, and you know what? At least the Washington Post is criticizing a Democrat now and again. Maybe it's because he's not wildly progressive enough for
them.
That's
what I think it is.
Well, okay, so sorry. Sorry to give him any credit there for about 3.5 seconds. But his stories in which he weaves together multiple stories, makes up details, changes his role in it. He's made a career of it. Is it just more of the same, or is Joe losing his mind? Britt Hume, who is as staid and stolid and old school a journalist as there is around, says he sees the signs of what did he say, senility in Joe Biden. Yeah. He says, listen, I'm that age. I see it in myself. He's definitely losing his mind.
Wow.
I mean, that's the story, not some spin bull crap.
Wow.
Is the prohibitive front runner losing his mind? Is he losing his marbles?
I want to be clear. I'm not going nuts.
Is he, at this point, a semi-empty suit leaning on his old rep? And his old rep was a little wacky. Or does he still have the goods? It's not clear to me yet. When's the next debate? Soonish, right? A couple weeks?
The 12th, yeah.
Kidding? What? It's right around the corner.
Huh? That's 8 days from now.
What?
Coming up.
Wait, I'm not ready. Came on me too quick.
What day's today? This week is all off.
So
Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it's next Thursday.
That's exciting.
Dang, I got to say.
So they're pumping him full of ginkgo biloba or whatever that stuff is that makes your brain work better.
Least.
Vitamin E. Yes. The direct injections, of course. Hey, it turns out binge watching on Netflix is coming to an end. Well, at least for some of their original shows. The streaming giant announcing that they will start releasing new episodes of their original shows on a weekly basis.
That's interesting. So Disney announced that, too, that's the way they're going to handle new shows.
As is Apple TV. They also announced that.
So everybody must have decided that's not where the money is, huh? Letting people watch them. Stay in on a rainy weekend and watch all 13 episodes?
So from my understanding, Netflix has a real problem with people finishing their series, and they feel like because there isn't the routine of, oh, it's Thursday, Friends is on, right?
Yeah.
Like people will love the first four episodes when they have nothing to do on a Saturday, but there's not a lot of revisiting or being reminded that it's on.
Well, I would suggest two things. Number one, you don't get the buzz that you get when there's a new episode of something over and over again. And secondly, like Better Call Saul, which I love, and Ozark, which is another bingey type show that I absolutely love. Both of those have been off for like 15, 18 months. I can barely remember why I liked them. I think I'll go back to them, but I'm not sure.
But, you know, who's had the best luck with this? Game of Thrones, Sopranos did it really well.
Right.
We're gonna make you wait till next year for a 6-season episode, and you're going to hunger for it. And you're going to wait for week by week, and then we're going to make you wait another year for another 8 episodes.
And I feel like another thing they're trying to...
You build buzz that way, you're right.
Kind of course correct with is the buzz machine. There's no ability to water cooler talk when everybody's watching the seasons on their own time frame.
Right.
Sure.
So, you know, reviewers have a hard time figuring out, how am I supposed to review this show? I don't know where my readers are in it.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're trying to play nice with some of those aspects as well.
Hmm.
All right, that's a wrap. That's your news. I'm Marshall Phillips, the Armstrong and Getty Show, the conscience of the nation.
I think a real common thing going forward is when they release a season, they will release like two or three episodes and then go weekly after that.
Get you started, yeah. Get you hooked. You've got
first taste is free.
We'll play you. We'll play you that clip if you haven't heard of what Britt Hume said about Joe Biden coming up, and then you're going to tell us how the human race is going to end.
Yeah, if we have time.
If we don't have time for that, what do we have time for?
Exactly.
Well, how are we all going to die?
A, the segment might end. B, one of the doomsday scenarios might occur.
Wow.
I mean, how ironic would it be if, you know, I'm counting down the doomsday scenarios. I do number two, which is, say, antibiotic-resistant bug, right? And the number one doomsday scenario, most likely to wipe it, bam, the meteor hits, and that was actually, that was number four.
I mean, we don't even get to know what number one is.
Right, exactly, because number four killed us.
Okay, that's all next.
That would be ironic, man.
Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
That's the kind of memory problems that people his age, and indeed my age, have all the time. And I think that the thing that may catch up with Biden over time, even among Democrats who would otherwise be for him, is the feeling that that senility is overtaking him. And I think it is.
That was fairly definitive.
Britt Hume, who's Biden's age, and not a person who is really, I've never heard hyperbole out of him, I don't think, ever. The idea that Biden's senility is catching up with him, and I think it is.
Mm.
Wow. Stating that the leading candidate for one of the major parties is senile. Which he may be.
How old was he when he started to say the crash that killed his first wife and his child was a drunk driver thing? Was that when it happened? Because it's been absolutely proved that the driver was not drunk and not even at fault. But he continues to pitch it as a drunk driving thing. I just think he's got Brian Williams disease. He's got to make everything more dramatic, more interesting, more compelling. Him be more the center of attention. It's a personality quirk. Anyway, Joe Biden won't kill us all, but these things might. This is from Brian Walsh, who's written a new book, End Times, A Brief Guide to the End of the World. It's reviewed in Popular Mechanics.
There you go.
I thought that was a good steady roll in publication to review it.
Love Popular Mechanics.
Not BS, Mechanics. You got this gear, this shaft, the gears either fit or they don't. There's no opinion in mechanics, if you know what I'm saying. So they start and work their way up. It's a good count up. Global warming. Oh, it's a scale of 1 to 10. 10 being the most, we're definitely being wiped out, and 1 being pretty manageable. They give the climate change a 3. He says quite accurately that it's dangerous as a threat multiplier. Potentially, it could be a contributing factor to other effects, where if you have a world that's in chaos, to a certain extent due to climate change, it makes conflict more likely. Then you have conflict get out of control.
I believe climate change could be a big one for humanity, but certainly not in my lifetime or my kids' lifetime.
Right, and it depends how people react. It could be that we react, you know, profitably and reasonably.
We wear less clothing.
Yeah.
For instance, and everything's fine.
Sell our parkas and buy shorts. The artificial intelligence rising up. He gives that a 6 on the 1 to 10 scale. Huh. Says tough to put a number on, certainly big risk. They go through the, you know, Elon Musk. It'll be the difference between a computer and a person will be like a person and a cat. We just won't have a chance. But then there are plenty of people who think, nah, it won't be like that. Calm down.
Yeah. I've never believed there's any reason for machines to want to take over the world.
So. Yeah. This is shocking and proves this guy's a fool, but he gives disease only a 2. This was a surprise to me, he says, of his low rating, because he researched all this stuff. On one hand, disease has killed more human beings than anything else, more than any wars, natural disasters. At the same time, there's a certain natural evolutionary limit as to how a disease can develop. You have on one end of the spectrum Ebola, incredibly virulent, kills north of three quarters of the people affected, kills them fast, kills them awfully, but not really great at spreading. That's in part because it's so virulent. It wipes you out before you're able to spread it very easily.
Thank God.
On the other end of the spectrum, the viruses that are most contagious tend not to kill, like measles. Measles are incredibly contagious, but you're not bleeding out of your orifices. Not yet. And he said, look to the animal world. Natural disease does not seem to kill off entire populations that easily. I would point out, though, that no animals have been slowly but surely making bacteria immune to antibiotics like people have been doing.
I know what number one in this list is going to be for wiping out mankind.
That one's
Trump! It's going to be Trump!
Oh, boy. That one's stupid. How about asteroid? It's two. There's a reason a bunch of movies are made about them. Such a cinematic feel. The universe is about to get you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, there's a good reason to take that one seriously. It did wipe out the dominant species on the planet once.
Yeah.
There's an asteroid making the rounds out there, but no, another asteroid.
One big bully asteroid just rolls by and punches planets in the face. There's no reason we couldn't develop a system to deflect one. Think everything from gravity tractors to knock a rock out of the way, lasers to change the speed, or even an old-fashioned ramming. Let's see. Volcanoes get a six.
Yep, that was my guess.
Seriously?
Volcanoes. He wrote down super volcano.
Nice.
Specifically the one under Yellowstone. That's going to be the one that gets us.
Wow, you even have your favorite picked. Volcanoes are underrated as a threat. Separate from the ones humans could potentially cause, this is the biggest one out there. If you look out over extinction waves, usually had a connection to volcanic activity. Yeah. The biggest one, the Great Dying. Oh, that had to be a long day. Where you had 90% of life on the planet pushed to extinction occurred because of a massive volcanic eruption in Siberia.
Wow. What year was that, does it say?
1970.
1972. The Bee Gees.
The charts.
The super volcano almost killed all of us.
What was it called? The Great Deafening? What was it?
The Great Dying.
The Great Dying.
Yeah. The Big Red Machine and the super volcano.
Now, the last super volcano that essentially shut off sunlight so you had global cooling was 26,500 years ago in New Zealand.
I knew it.
And they think the one before that was about 74,000 years ago.
We should buy New Zealand and put a cork in it.
Yeah, yeah. And then space aliens is unknown. Difficult to assign a number to that. So super volcanoes.
The Great Dying 252 million years ago.
How's this become so hot all of a sudden? I mentioned this, what was it, last week? There was that article in the New York Times about super volcanoes, the underrated threat. Just a hot thing right now, I guess.
Maybe this is a symptom of being in an incredibly unthreatened society right now. We're so safe and comfortable in most ways.
Is there a movie coming? Remember the clowns at the edge of the woods? Somebody got that going because the movie It was coming out.
Right.
So now we're talking about super volcanoes. I can only assume there's a super volcano movie about it.
Well, now my radar's up. If I see a volcano movie being promoted in the next couple months, I'll let you guys know. We've been duped.
It would not shock me if movie studios, especially if you're making some movie you anticipate will make $1 billion in China, that you start sowing those stories months in advance.
That'd be a horrible way to die, the super volcano, if it's actually lava getting me.
Well, yeah, that'd be quick. No. I think more of the problem is
quick but horrific.
It just gets cold and cloudy and crops die out and you slowly starve to death.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like cloudy days, though.
Well, put on some jazz. You'll die happy then of starvation. Put on some jazz.
I'm not going to starve today. It'd take a while. I got a whole fridge full of food.
So the UN convenes, what will we do about this super volcano eruption? Bam! That's when the meteor hits.
Right.
Wouldn't that be ironic?
Final thoughts. Final thoughts. Yeah. Coming up next on Armstrong and Getty Show.
Okay.
Here's your host, Joe Getty.
I think you need to take a year or two off and not release another album there, sir. You hear what I'm saying? Let's get a final thought from everybody. Wrap up the hour. Positive Sean, producer, final thought?
Yeah, hearing what Michelangelo spends monthly on his food got me thinking, I wonder what I actually spend. So I'm going to take notes this month. I'll report at the end of it and see what my monthly food expenditures are.
Good one.
Excellent. Marshall Phillips, our esteemed newsman, final thought?
Well, I went along the same lines as Sean, but I also have gone through what I spent to eat every month, and it works out to about $500 a month. probably $300 on wine, $200 on food.
That seems like a good ratio to me. Michelangelo, pressing the button. Is your final thought?
Well, many of you have texted me about my $1,200 a month food bill. Your comments have been judgmental, insensitive, and unkind, but most of all, very entertaining. Keep it up.
Beautiful. Jack, a final thought for us.
So my wife was excited, like a lot of women her age with kids, for the new Taylor Swift album coming out, because that's what people like that listen to, apparently. Mm. And but it's political, and my wife hates it so much.
Oh, no.
She was complaining last night. Taylor, you have one job. Sing about boys and breakups. You had one job. And now it's political. And her sales are way down in listens, and she thinks it's because of streaming contracts. No, it's because you went freaking political. You know how many people want that? Nobody.
I thought her album was a smash hit number one. Maybe it didn't have staying power. So my final thought, also wife-related, oddly enough, when we got to the 24-hour rental counter in D.C., and they were closed for the night, and we had no car and didn't know how we were going to get around, my wife decided that instead of proceeding deliberately and strategically and contacting the company, etc., she would call up their third world midnight operator and chew them out instead.
Always satisfying.
Believing that would make her happier. It did not make her happier.
That's been my experience, too. Seems like a good idea at the time.
No. They're going to feel the rough side of my tongue. They're in Bangladesh. They don't care. Yeah,
right. Armstrong and Getty wrapping up another grueling 4-hour workday.
So many people to thank. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
God bless America.
You having a good time?
Okay, I did not say that.
I've sat here for over 3 hours and 15 minutes.
That sucks.
If you wish to leave, you may.
Let me just say how very, very dismaying and disappointing.
Not good.
And just change the channel from this mesmerizing horror show.
We'll be better tomorrow than we were today.
Then we heard the words,
"It's over for me."
Adios, mofo.
Okay, so we're dismissed. Is that correct?
Do you want to rephrase what you're doing?
And I recoil from the visceral, juvenile anti-Americanism that would do such profound damage.
Armstrong and Getty.